it's pitiful. I'm telling you what, we got out yesterday and came down here. Jeremy had already beat us down here, been shoveling the parking lot. I appreciate him doing that. My goodness, what a blessing that was. And then Mark came down here and brought something. I don't know what it was, but finished it off. Didn't he do a good job on that? Appreciate that. And made it possible that we could get in here this morning. And the state truck was down here, and I caught him. It just as an answer to prayer, because you never can catch them people, and they scrape these dead-end roads last. And I just happened to look, and here he come. And I took off down there to catch him, and he'd stopped right down there before you get there and just left a big old pile of snow all the way across the road. I thought the devil told him to do that. He did. I believe that. And I stopped and I said, "Hey, man, we're going to have church up here tomorrow." He said, I'm not allowed to go past that telephone pole. I said, "That telephone pole is way up there." And he turned that truck around and cleared it out for us. And I said, "I appreciate that." And if I hadn't seen him, we'd have had a big clump of snow down there about that tall right across the driveway. Wasn't that nice of him? But I chased one all the way out the road one time, blowing my horn, flashing my lights. I did. Chased him way out to the exit 106 on the side road and asked him to turn around and come back here and did it. But I'm glad God made it possible that we could get in this morning. Mark chapter 15. We'll take just a few minutes while you're turning there. Announcements. We will have church tonight. The roads will be way better. Way better. It's supposed to get up in the 40s. The parking lot's already clearing out. So we'll have church tonight. Come praying. Bring somebody with you. And then Wednesday night, our regular Wednesday night service. Weather's supposed to be nice. And our men's prayer meeting has been rescheduled for this Friday night. We will have food at 6 o'clock and then pray. Call in all men. I'm telling you, men, if we don't pray, our country, our nation, our home, is there anybody in here that would deny that our nation needs prayer? Good night. Lord have mercy. I've never seen such a mess in my life. This political race we're going to see in the next few months is going to be an absolute circus. It's what it's turning into. And so, let's pray. There's only one answer, and that's the Lord Jesus moving on His people and starting it right here in the house of God. So, let's look in Mark chapter 15 very quickly this morning, and I want to give you what I feel like the Lord's given me. For all you that are listening today by internet, you listen carefully. If you have someone who needs the Lord, it'd be a good time to get them to listen. Mark chapter 15 and look at verse 22. We'll read quite a bit this morning, so stay with us. Mark 15 and verse 22. And they bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garment. Look at that. Well, they crucified him. They crucified him, y'all. They parted his garments, casting lots upon them what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of his accusation was written over the King of the Jews. And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and it was numbered with the transgressors. And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocking said among themselves with the scribes, He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried. This would be about 6 o'clock in the evening. The ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood by, when they heard it, said, Behold, he calleth Elias. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed, and gave him to drink, saying, Let alone, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. I want to preach this morning on the subject, blessings that flow from Calvary. Here in this story this morning, we see the great, wonderful, blessed story that's ever told on the day that Jesus bore our sins on the cross. We'll be shouting a million years from today over yonder on the other side in heaven and rejoicing over what Jesus did for us on Calvary. Don't ever get over what Jesus did for you on the cross. Don't ever get too religious or educated or smart or advanced or too high and mighty or self-righteous or cultured to quit appreciating what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. There are many, many blessings that flow from Calvary. The blood that stained the old rugged cross makes us know several things this morning, and I'll give them to you right quickly. When they nailed the Lord to the cross that day, the blood came out of his hand. You know, in the Bible, the wrist is part of the hand, so it's probably right in here. You know that from the book of Genesis, where it said he put a bracelet on her hand. That's here. So the hand is part, the wrist is part of the hand in Bible terminology. So they put those nails probably in this part right here, probably, and the blood gushed out. The blood ran down his face, down his back, out of his hands and feet, and down the cross. As the blood flowed from Calvary, me and you realize the blessings that flowed from him. Number one, I want to say the first blessing from Calvary this morning is the forgiveness is by the blood. Our forgiveness this morning is by the blood. The Bible said in Ephesians 1 and verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. I say to you this morning, you don't earn forgiveness. You don't buy forgiveness. You're forgiven this morning because of the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. I have no claim. You hear people say, I have no claim to fame? We have no claim to forgiveness today except that the blood came and washed our sins and made us whole. And you know, I've seen people try to pay. I've actually seen, I guess I've done it myself, people try to pay God for something that they've done wrong. You ever seen anybody do that? I've seen people do something real wrong or maybe get caught or get in trouble or something, and boy, they'll come and give a lot of money to the church, or they'll start praying an hour a day, or they'll start, now it's okay to give money and pray an hour a day, all of that, but sometimes people think, boy, I've done something so bad, I better really do good, or God won't. I'm going to tell you, it's an insult to God for you to try to pay for your sin any other way except for the blood that's already paid for them. Amen? I'm telling you this morning, you ought to give, you ought to get serious, you ought to pray, you ought to read your Bible, you ought to do good to the church, you ought to do good, but it is not to earn forgiveness. Our forgiveness is solely, 100%, based upon the blood that fell from the old rugged cross. Glory to God, hallelujah. I'm glad it does. As a preacher preaching one time, and he said, the blood will cover your sins. And a mocker out in the crowd hollered out, and he said, preacher, how does the blood forgive sins? And the preacher said, I don't know. And he said, well, you can't even explain it. And the preacher said, I don't know how water quenches thirst, but I know that it does. I can't explain how I can drink that water and I'm no longer thirsty. And I can't explain how the blood that was shed 2,000 years ago forgives my sin now. All I know is, the glory to God, hallelujah, it works, people. It works. I'm glad to say the blood and the blessings that flow from Calvary means the forgiveness is by the blood. Number two, I want to say the justification that we have is by the blood. Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. The Bible said, much more than being now justified by his blood. Amen? Justified by his blood. Now that word justified has legal sound to it. As a legal term. What that means is, You know, when a man comes into court and he goes like this, they present the evidence, they present the defense and all that, and the judge files all that hammered out, he says, not guilty. And brother, half of the community might know a different story, but once that judge has come down and declared that man not guilty, in the eyes of the law, that man is free. He can never be tried for that crime again. It's over. It's done with. And brother, people might say, well, I saw him do it with my own eyes. Maybe he did. But I'll tell you one thing, brother, when that judge says, bang, and that thing is legally declared justified, you do know what the word justified means? You've heard preachers say it. I heard a preacher say it probably 30 years ago, and I've never forgot it. He said, do you know what justified means? The Bible said we're justified by the Lord's blood. You know what it means? It means just if I never sinned. Now, I'm going to tell you something, buddy. If that won't make you shout, ain't much will make you shout. I'm telling you, people here this morning, we're all a bunch of sorry, low-down dogs. I am. You are. We all deserve our place in hell. But when he sees me this morning, he don't see me like I am. He sees me just if I never sinned to start with. It ain't like, well, you're guilty, but I'm going to let you go. It's like, you never have done it wrong. That's the way God... Now listen, people, I'm telling you that and make a backslid Presbyterian shout, hallelujah, for the justification that we have by the blood of Jesus. It's what that is. It's declared righteousness. It's like declared righteousness. I read back there the other day. You come through Genesis, you read it too. Bible said, oh, Abraham went one time, and God came to Abraham, and he said, Abraham, you believe me? He said, I sure do. And he said, Abraham, look up there. You see all them stars? And Abraham says, yes, Lord, I see all them stars. He said, can you count them? He said, no, Lord, I can't count them. He said, that's how many children I'm going to give you. And Abraham said, really? He said, yeah. Do you believe it? And Abraham said, yes, Lord, I believe you. And God said, I mean, he's 90-something years old. He's past childbearing age. His wife past childbearing age. And God said, listen to me now. Listen, God said, Abraham, you believe that I'm going to give you there's as many children as there are stars up there? Abraham said, Lord, if you said it, I'll believe it. And the Lord said, you know what I'm going to do? He said, I'm going to give you my righteousness. Because you believed what I said. That Bible said that God imputed righteousness to Abraham. Now you listen to me this morning. Hey, we ain't just a bunch of crazy people sitting in a building this morning. Brother, we have the imputed righteousness of God on our soul this morning. Thank God, hallelujah. Boy, that'll make you want to go out there and make a snowman and lead him to Jesus. I'm telling you, glory to God, people, that's imputed righteousness. I'm saying, thank the Lord, it's undeserved, and the world around us says you don't deserve it, and God gave Abraham his righteousness. And you know something this morning? I'll say something about that, and I'll move on. Listen, people, it's imputed us. That means we don't deserve it, but we got it anyway. We got it because we believed what God said. Be very careful about judging somebody else that maybe committed a sin that you hadn't committed. A lot of times people in church sometimes mess up and fall into sin, and you get other people in the church get real self-righteous and start condemning them and start saying, well, them sorry good for nothing thing. And I'm telling you, sin is awful, sin is bad. But I tell you, the truth is this morning that every one of us, every single one of us, have done things we ought to be in hell for since we've been saved. But hallelujah, God give us his imputed righteousness. That man, you ain't got no right to look down on nobody else. I ain't got no right to look down on you. You ain't got no right to look down on nobody else. The truth is, every one of us are a bunch of low-down sinners saved by God's grace and God's mercy. We didn't deserve it. It's imputed. Hallelujah. I'm glad for God's mercy this morning. I know some of you are sitting here saying, well, I thought since we'd have a little crowd, you wouldn't preach hard. Oh, boy, I feel it coming on. I feel it coming on, but I ain't preaching for a big crowd. I haven't seen my legs disappear. I'm preaching glory to God because I'm saved. I'm imputed the Lord's righteousness. I'm glad I'm saved this morning. I'm glad I'm righteous in the sight of God. Hallelujah. That's justification today. Amen. Justification, that's imputed righteousness. The world knows you're guilty. Everybody else knows you're guilty. And God looks down and said, I didn't see a thing. Woo! Glory to God, that's good, ain't it? Hey, man, thank God. You know, the devil comes up and he says, did you see what Danny did? The Lord says, no. And the devil says, that ain't fair, that ain't fair. Put him in hell. The Lord said, he looks fine to me. He looks just like my son Jesus. You know why? When he sees me, he sees his son and his right. Now, some of you're still trying to work your way in or be good enough for God to accept you. And it's okay to try to do good, but not for God to accept you. Just accept what he's done for you and shout about it. Hallelujah. Amen. Number three, let me say thirdly this morning, blessings that flow from Calvary, the promise of salvation is by the blood. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 and 21, long in there, it said we go in by the blood of the everlasting covenant. Salvation is by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a man one time come to a preacher. Preacher's preaching about the blood, and this man come to him and he said, preacher, I don't need the blood of Jesus. I don't like to hear you guys talking about that old blood running down the cross. I don't need that. I feel like I'm going to heaven because I'm doing good. He said, well, how are you going to heaven? He said, I'm going to live like Jesus lived, and I'll go to heaven. And the preacher turned it over there in the Bible where it's so good, Jesus, and it said, who did no sin. He did no sin. Have you committed a sin? He said, yes, I have. He said, well, you ain't living like Jesus. There ain't nobody living like Jesus. Nobody has ever lived like Jesus lived. You couldn't. You haven't. Your grandma didn't. Mother Teresa didn't. Nobody has ever lived the life that Jesus Christ lived. Only one person. He lived. He lived it because we couldn't. If we could, he wouldn't have come down here and went through all that stuff. Thank God. And that old boy realized, he said, I don't need an example. I need a Savior. He said, I can't live like him. I don't need an example. I need a Savior. And I'm telling you, that night I come to the altar. I came to Nebo Baptist Church. You know what I needed? A Savior, y'all. I needed a Savior. And I thank God, brother, because I'd already messed up. I'd already sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'd let the Lord down 1,000 ways. I couldn't make it up. My record was already marred. I come and I needed a Savior. And thank God I had one that day. The man said one time, teacher asked these little kids in class, she said, now boys and girls, the Bible said the eyes of the Lord run to and fro on the earth. He said, is there anything God can't see? Anything God can't see? A little boy raised his hand. He said, I know some. She said, now, son, we're talking about, is anything God can't see? She said, what is it? And he said, my sins when they're under the blood. And the teacher said, that's right. That's right. God can't see my sins when they're under the blood. I got news for you. Your neighbor might see them, but God don't. Your kin folks might not forget about it, but God don't see it. Your family might bring it up and throw it in your face. You might have somebody talk about you like your dog. I'm telling you, once it's forgiven, once it's under the blood, it's gone. And the salvation and the promise is by the blood. Number four, quickly this morning, I want to say fellowship is by the blood. Another blessing that comes from God. Not just our justification, not just our salvation, not just our forgiveness, but our fellowship. Number 100 walked in the door just now. Amen. Fellowship is by the blood. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. If we walk in the light, are you listening? If we walk in the light, I'm trying to live for the Lord, and I say, Lord, help me. And I do right, and I try to serve Him. The Bible said if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, see, I'm walking in these lights right now. We have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. That is wonderful. Glory to God, that's great. Hallelujah. You know, if you're like me, every once in a while, probably happened to you, Roy, probably you know what I'm talking about. Some of you men know what I'm talking about. Brother Derek, not Jeremy. Not. Every once in a while, right out of clear blue, the devil will come up and he'll bring up something you did a long time ago. I mean, have you ever had that happen to you? I mean, you don't even know where it comes from, just all of a sudden. And the devil says, see, remember what you did? Remember what you did? God's going to get you for that. God, and the devil just, he's the accuser of the brethren. I pull out that verse right there. It said, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. You need to memorize that verse. You need to remember that verse. 1 John. The Bible said, if we walk in the light, he's in the light. You'll need it one of these days. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. It follows you around like a vacuum cleaner. Getting them sins up, brother. We was talking the other night, and I was we was watching it snow. And I got a floodlight out the bedroom window. Man, it's pretty. Them I don't know, 2 o'clock. I woke up about 6 of the morning, and I mean, it was beautiful. Big old flakes coming down, and I told my wife, I said, look at that. I said, you see all them little snowflakes? That's like little sins. You know, you're seeing every day sins and sins and sins. You know, them sins, them things don't weigh nothing. You could hold your hand out like that right there and put 15 snowflakes, and you'd never know it. They have no weight. But you let enough of them keep piling up. I mean, enough of them, it knocked down the roof of the Dollar General. That's right. And I sure did somewhere. And that's the redneck way of it. But I'm saying something, buddy. Listen, you couldn't feel, I bet you could put 1,000 snowflakes on my arm and I couldn't even feel it. But finally, boom. I mean, it'll crash in the roof. And I'm telling you, that's the way sin is. You commit little sins every day, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade. They keep piling up. They'll finally get you. But I'm glad the old song says, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. He keeps us clean through the blood. He keeps us clear through the blood. We can talk to him through the blood. I got up this morning and I prayed to him through the blood. I fell asleep last night praying. And I said, oh God, please bless the service tomorrow. Lord, please let people come out. God, please. You know how I got through that? Through the blood. Our fellowship is through the blood. Has God ever blessed you? It wasn't because you was good. It was because of his blood that made intercession for you. The blessings that flow from Calvary. Number 5. Access to God is through the blood. Hebrews 10. 19 and 20, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of the covenant. Something like that. Hebrews 10, verse 19 and 20, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what that is? That's the door. The blood's the way. The blood's your, I'll put it in terms y'all can understand. The blood is your password. Now you got it, don't you? You don't get them justification Bible words, but you can get password, can't you? Somebody said, what's your password? You can't get into my nose book without your password. Well, I've heard people say that. I don't really know what either one of them is, and don't want nose book. That's for you, but I think it's like you have to punch a certain number or something like that. Like my phone's locked, I know how to unlock it. I got a little design to do. That's a password. And you can't get into that phone without knowing that sequence of number. You can't get into that email without knowing that number. You can't know what's on your email. You don't even know if you're Hillary. You have no telling what's in your email, and you didn't know it. You didn't even know it was there, but it was there, and you sent text back, and you didn't know that either. And but anyway, nobody's supposed to know that unless they have a password to get in. I'm going to tell you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, nobody gets access to God but by the blood. The blood is the password. You can't say, well, I've been doing real good, so God, he must be happy with me. No, sir. The Bible said all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. The absolute best we can do is nothing to him. Remember this. Remember me telling you this. When you come before him, you come saying, I claim the blood. I plead the blood. Somebody said, I'm having evil thoughts. Plead the blood. Somebody said, I just feel like God's left me. Plead the blood. You are not saved by your feelings. You're not justified by your feelings. It is by what God did. Shed blood on Calvary, and you have access to God through the blood. Number 6, and I'm through. We have peace by the blood. Blessings that flow from Calvary. You know, years ago, there's a wicked old atheistic reprobate wrote a song called Give Peace a Chance. and all the hippies sat around and they said, give peace a chance. We ain't had 5 minutes peace on this earth since Cain knocked Abel's brains out in Genesis. Way back yonder in chapter 4, whichever chapter it is, 3 or 4, long in there, we have not had peace on this earth. They've been killing each other and they're still going to. The three biggest and most terrible wars are still in the future. In the book of Revelation, chapter 6, Revelation 19, Revelation, there's wars all the way through and they're coming. There's going to be war, and rumors of war. I'm glad this morning, thank God, according to Colossians chapter 1, verse 20, we have peace through the blood. We have peace through the blood. Having made peace through the blood of His cross, that means we have no conflict between me and God, no argument between us and God, no fussing between us and God, no debate. I don't have to say, but Lord, I did this, please, Lord, you don't understand, but it's all took care of. The old account was settled long ago. My record's clear today, for He washed my sins away. Yes, the old account was settled long ago. I believe there's somebody here this morning, you've walked around with a guilty conscience long enough. You've carried that weight of load of guilt too long. Why don't you come to the altar this morning, get it under the blood, claim the promise of God's forgiveness, and walk out of here shout, it ain't got nothing to do with how you feel. It ain't got nothing to do with how it feel on the inside. You take God at His word and let God be true and every man a liar. Say amen right there. Hallelujah this morning. Forgiveness is through the blood. Fellowship is through the blood. Access is through the blood. Justification is through the blood. And peace with God is through the blood this morning. He said years ago, say this and I'm through. Up in Chicago, they had that great meeting of all the world's religions. This was way back, like, I don't know, 70, 80 years ago. And all the world's religions met, and they said, they had a Buddhist, they had a Hindu, they had a Muslim, they had every religion in the world, a leader to represent. They was going to try to get everybody together and see what they had in common. And they had let each one tell what their religion offered. Some of them was reincarnation, trusting this and do this and do that, and you try to reincarnate and have a better life and all kind of stuff like that. And Dr. Joseph Cook represented Christianity. Dr. Cook come up there that day. They said in front of all this religious crowd, he brought a woman out from behind the curtain. He came out. She held her hand like this. And he said, ladies and gentlemen, this woman's hand is stained. She took the life of another person with them hands. She's a murderer. And he said, this woman has the guilt, the blood of another individual on her hands. She killed somebody. And he said, what does your religion have to offer her? And not one religious leader in the group could offer her any hope. It was kill her, stone her, try to reincarnate and hope you can do better in your next life. No murder, something you've done. Well, and Joe Cook said, we'll ask John. They all looked around and he said, hey, who's John? And he said, the Apostle John in the Bible. What do you say? And he read the scripture, said, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. He said, that's the difference in being a Christian and having just religion. Other religions are doing something for your God. Christianity is God doing something for us that thank God we can't do for ourselves. The other religions are us trying to obtain something from God. Christianity is God giving us something we don't deserve. Hallelujah, people. We ought to just shout this morning and praise our hand and say, glory to God, hallelujah. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Amen, thank God. He told that crowd that day, he said, this woman is made pure and made whole and made clean in the spotless, pure blood of the Lamb. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stain. Church, preach it, love it, live it, learn it. Tell it to somebody else. The blessings that flow from Calvary is that people and peace is by the blood. No conflict. No argument. No debate. Peace. Thank God. If you'd stop trying to condemn yourself, you might could enjoy the peace of God. I know I'm made out of flesh just like you. Something else comes up in you and said, yeah, but you know good and well. You know, just ignore yourself and realize what he said. We have peace through the blood of his cross. Let's stand. Standing, every head bowed, every eyes closed. She's playing softly this morning. There's no doubt in my mind somebody's listening to me today that needs, desperately needs, forgiveness. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never been saved. I've seen God do great things on a snowy day. A lot of people couldn't maybe get out. The Lord wants to help you this morning. Sir, the Lord wants to help you. You're standing in this church this morning and God has spoke to your heart. Maybe you don't know if you're saved or not. Maybe you don't know if you're saved or not. This would be your chance right now. I couldn't put it any plainer than what I have. The blood of Jesus was shed for you. Come and trust Him. I'm going to ask you this morning, if you'll just get out of your seat. Get out of your seat. Come on right now. Somebody come pray with you. We're not going to sing. We're just going to pray. Maybe you're here this morning. You know you've been saved. You have been saved. Amen. Come pray with this young man. Say amen. Let God speak to your heart. You have been saved, but you're not living right. You have been saved, but you are not living right. I'm going to ask you to just get out of your seat. Come on down here. Come on. Come on right now. Let's kneel on this old cold January morning. Man, it's about 15 this morning when I got up. Maybe 12. I don't know. 15 when we finally left. Might have been 12 when we woke up. And listen, it's cold out there, but it can be warm in your heart. Will you let the Lord speak your heart? You that are listening on the internet, on the web this morning, I want to ask you a question. Do you know for sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Do you know it for a fact? If you don't, I can't pray for you. I mean, I can't do your praying for you, but I can help you. Just say, dear Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Tell Him in your own words, out of your heart, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. Lord, I believe that Jesus died for my sins. And I believe the blood was shed for me. And right now, I accept what you did for me on the cross. Please, Jesus, be my Savior. Come into my heart. Change my life. I want the blessings that flow from Calvary. Please, Lord, do that for some soul this morning. Thousands and thousands of people that need your help, need your touch. Please, Lord Jesus, touch them today. God, I pray. Lord, don't let nobody here this morning walk out of here without knowing their sins are forgiven. And whatever and however you do for us, we'll give you the glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, just remain standing there. All right. Amen. If you're glad we didn't call church off today, say amen. I told you. I feel for those that couldn't come. We had a lot of people. Man, Brother Wayne wanted to be here. Doc Phyllis wanted to be here. If I can get down in that hole where Wayne lives, try to bring him this evening. You can get in there. The problem's getting out. It's like that. And there ain't been a car out yet. And it's real deep. But let's pray. We'll meet back tonight at 6 o'clock. We'll have a good time. Somebody said that they was going to bring all kinds of food and donuts and coffee and everything tonight, but I think I just made that up. Somebody might, you never know. But anyway, let's be here tonight at 6 and bring somebody with you, and we'll have a good time. The roads will be a lot better this evening after it warms up a little bit. So let's come back tonight, be here, pray. Don't forget, men, if you're not on the list here, we're putting off our prayer meeting until this Friday night, this coming Friday night. We'll be praying, meeting at 6 o'clock, and we will have food, Lord willing, for real. And then pray right after that, as long. If you need to pray, be here Friday night. You've got kids, you've got grandkids, if you've got pray about it. My wife said she bring food tonight. Who's going to cook it? Me? I'll have some food tonight, don't you worry, like we just got through eating. Lord willing, we'll have something good to eat. We might bring, let's see what. If we bought a bag of potato chips, How many people? How many? We got 100 and something. We wound up with over 100 here this morning, I think. Two potato chips each. They're big old bags this big, but they got this much potato chips in them. You know, and the rest of it's just blowed up air. It says contents may.